A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today our usual Thursday class is off. So we'll be having instead a gathering or informal meeting to celebrate Teacher's Day and also pre-Vesak. Vesak will be, I think, 6 days more. Oh, another 22nd, yeah, 6 days more, yeah. So it's less than a week, so we can have it together. So we'll be as usual, yeah, we gather here, then we will have our physical puja, simple one. After that, we will continue with our puja chanting. Yeah. Then we will have our fellowship, yeah. Informal fellowship and sharing, Q&A, Dhamma sharing, or whatever that Kayanamita wants to discuss, then we can have it. Okay, let us assemble and we'll have our physical puja. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Arahan Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dityampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dityampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dityampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micacara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Surameraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. สาธุสาธุสาธุโอเค let's pay respect to Pajam Buddhang Pujami Dhammang Pujami Sanghang Pujami Okay, you all can be seated. So once again, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today, like I said, the Thursday class will not be on, but instead we will have a modified gathering of Kayamita to mark the pre-Vesak. And also Teacher's Day. Well, today is 16 May 2024, Thursday, which is supposed to be Teacher's Day. All those who has become teacher before, you will be honored. Because there is a day chosen for us all. Then some may not be teacher, but you teach your children, you teach your brothers, sisters, or whoever. You are also indirectly a teacher in one way or other. So in honor of all these people who has done great job, when you can teach morality, goodness, kindness, Dhamma or whatever that can be of benefits to mankind, humanity, it is indeed a great job done. That's why teachers are very well respected and treasured in the olden days, especially in the olden days. When you say you are a teacher, it's an honor. But now they're different. My wife told me the school now they scold the student. You're lazy. When you become a teacher, then you will know how bad it will be. But I think that one also no more changing reality. Now teacher, not too bad the salary. Last time really the teacher really low salary and a lot of work. And in fact, the role of teacher are very important. The nation's future and progress depend on the education system, which depend entirely on the teachers. So you look around, all those countries that did well, they got good education system. But like the saying goes, I used to hear this, I don't know whether it's very true or not, but quite true, I think. He said, to destroy a country, the first thing you do is to destroy the education system. The country will go down. Because the education system is like the most important sector within the government. Whether your population grew accordingly and become good citizen, very talented population to take over from the next generation or to govern well and to give rise to a lot of wholesomeness to the nation. To bring the country to glory and all those things depend entirely on your education system that nurture the leaders. So anyway, Teacher's Day is a day where when I was young, I actually loved Teacher's Day and I have a lot of joy and I really respect and thank my teacher, each and every one of them. But they are the one that taught us how to understand things. Especially myself, I was sent to English school. And the English school was the best in Kedah. But because I came from a small village where nobody speak English, so when I was there, English is like alien to me. So standard one, I got last in the class. Standard two, I got second last. Where my arithmetic, I got 100 marks. The rest was zero. But after I learned the language, I learned a lot of things. I picked up a lot of things. Then I topped the class again. So that is life, whatever it is. Okay, with that, I think we will continue your tonight's program. I think we will have the puja chanting first. We will chant the Tapito Heart Sutta, followed by Karaniya Metta Sutta.
Yeah. 揭谛，揭谛，波罗揭谛，波罗。
揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃
Punareti. jena soti te ho tu sabda etena sacca vajena sabro govinasatu etena sacca vajena ho tu te
Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, very good. Thank you so much. Yeah. So we have finished the puja chanting. We can now start our simple. Yeah, Pamasri, you want to say something? Yeah, go ahead.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah.
By all this chanting.
Yeah.
May we wish Radio our teacher Ayu Vano Sukam Bala
Sadhu
long life,
good health,
long life, and have many opportunity to expound the profound Dharma to all sentient beings.
Sadhu.
So shall we pay our respect to our teacher?
Yeah, okay. Sadhu. Sadhu, very good. Yeah.
May I call upon Sister NB to represent all Kayanamita to present the fruit basket to Bratio.
Yeah, together, no, I just said. Two person, together. Together. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. Don't worry, this one fruition for all. Sadhu. That's why the fruit basket is very good. Face the altar. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. Just now I came in, I saw this. I already knew. I put back on the altar. It represents fruition for all Kayanamitas. When you realize fruition, wisdom dawn upon you. Because enlightenment is about the path and fruition. When you are on the path, you already has the understanding of the Dhamma. But when it comes to fruition, means you have stabilized your understanding of all those wisdom that you have realized. That's why it's called path and fruition. The first four stages of sainthood, Sotapan, Sakadagami, Anagami, and Arahanta. All these four stages of sainthood, they are four pairs of being. That's why in the salutation to the Sangha, the Buddha mentioned the four pairs of being. Each sainthood has one pair of enlightened being. The one that realized the path, then the one that subsequently realized the fruition of that path. They are one pair. So path is when you are on the path, means you won't get lost already. You have realized that Dhamma, which is the correct Dhamma. That's why it's called path. Then the fruition of it, that is the stabilization of the understanding. That's why when you walk on the path, you awaken. Then when you stabilize all this understanding, means you have completed the fruition of it. Means like the fruit. You not only have the seed that will ultimately grow and become fruit. And that fruition is the result of that training, the cultivation. That's why when the fruit, you really reach the stage of friction, even like the flower when they flower beautifully. That initial stage is the most beautiful. Yeah. Then like all things, after that it decay. The decay part is the form and mind, understand? But that wisdom that is with the enlightened being never disappear. Even though we say never disappear, it's only that form and mind that realizes it at that time, that segmented life. They have the wisdom connected to their form and mind. But when the form and mind dissolve, this wisdom also dissolve together, you know. But you don't worry, you will not lose them all. Your karmic nature, your spiritual nature will store them. And when your spiritual nature store them, you need another form of mind to arise, connect again, then only you can inherit. Otherwise, initially it's more gradual. You have to go through the karmic support. So normally the karmic nature with the karmic support, you have gone through the enlightenment or realization before, then you would have that understanding that actually develop into very special aditan or affirmation or vows or whatever that can actually help you to deliver the karmic nature, which is very special. That's why I realized even this life, the segmented life that come, I no need to do anything. Everything has already been already mapped out. Then when this segmented life arise, it just echo and flow, then everything just come to be. That's the power of understanding, wisdom born of cultivation and perfection. When you develop it higher and higher, more and more stable, your understanding becomes very different. Then when you come, your nature is very different, very special. That's why the form and mind are like, no need to do anything, everything already taken care of, like I used to say. But most people, before you realize the enlightenment and have this nature, you are like a normal puttujana, but that one very pitiful. You like the saying goes, gong gong lai, gong gong tua, gong gong chia, gong gong si, everything also gong. That one suffer a lot. That one, you are at the mercy of the law of karma. And when you live life without understanding that law, you can just imagine for yourself how dangerous that type of life is. That is what the Buddha called heedless living. When you don't have the yoniso manasikara, the heedfulness, the wisdom, you will lead a heedless life. And that one, a lot of suffering, a lot of entanglement. Maybe certain life you got certain good dana parami. Then when you come, that dana parami come to fruition, then suddenly you become wealthy. But you also have a lot of nonsense. You also, not through the righteous way, you acquire your wealth. Then you do all the generosity. Yeah, you generate, but you will lose it back. Your deal is what you got hold of through illegal means or non-proper ways. So easy come, easy go. Then sometimes, because you cause so much suffering to living beings, when you lose them because of your delusion, you attach so much to it, your feeling, your emotion, everything. The mental breakdown will cause all the suffering that you have caused to other beings in the past. So all this is coming. So you play the game of duality, born of karma, like Brother Song in the previous book, the sharing, he said, when he saw all this Dhamma, how they are connected, then he realized living being is like before you have the Dhamma understanding, you are involved in a lot of coming activity, the game of duality. You keep on oscillating between your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant experience and all those things. Yeah. So this is why the Dhamma is very important. With that, maybe we now open up for discussion or sharing. Any question or any topic that you want to share or ask me to elaborate on, you can just raise your hand.
2057. There's a calling that I must do something. I need to find a Buddhist center. Where can I find a Buddhist center can have English? My Buddhist is all Mandarin.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been looking for a year or two, and I didn't know every day I pass by a road, like, there's the SJBA.
Sadhu.
So one fine day, my friend is a Christian. Cindy, you don't know that the SJBA, they teach in English, right?
Yeah.
Oh, the next day I went in, 31st July. Okay.
Sadhu.
The secretary of the day said, I'd like to be a member. I just said, how much? $100. Okay, I pay. So that day is a Monday. I said, anything else I need to do? So today got meditation. So I went up meditation. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Started from there, mental meditation.
Yeah.
So I've been practicing since then.
So
I drove my car all the way to KKB. I thought like KKB.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it is about. They said, you must go for interview. I said, what? They said not for interview. Interview for what job? I'm so surprised. I don't know who to ask to. I don't know anybody there. I just walk in.
Sadhu.
Since then, I was trying to learn. But of course, 10 days meditation in noble silence.
Yeah.
I came out, I feel different.
Mm.
The outside world is so different. The inside meditation is so peaceful.
Yeah.
Since then, I've been practicing.
Yeah.
Vipassana, metta. But lately, 1 year ago, I said, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Why people ask me to sit, and when I'm thinking, just thinking, I said, why should I be thinking? I might become my mind. I wish every day I pray to Buddha, can you please show me the middle path?
Sadhu.
Who am I? I said, who am I? I keep asking myself, who am I? What am I?
Sadhu.
Very good. My prayer had been answered.
Yeah, Sadhu.
Thank you so much, Sister Ingby. Yeah. And I started chanting the chanting.
Oh, very good, Sadhu.
Chanting helps a lot.
Yeah.
It calms the mind. Yeah.
It calms you down, and the vibration actually sets the condition for you to come back to the teaching. When these are the vibrations in the past, when you are involved in the cultivation, you hear them. And these vibrations are the thing that actually trigger off the condition for the past to come back to you. I remember when I was first day at the uni, after I met Chief Reverend, then I went back to my room, 4-hour meditation. I don't know how to meditate, but first time I said, to me it's about half an hour, but when I look at the watch, 4 hours I've been sitting there, and my mind transformed, becomes so calm, so still. Then I don't know what it is. Then I tell myself, this must be it lah. So we all also lucky, took down the address of Chief Reverend, Yesi Ramana. So I make it a point to visit the temple. So the first day I got my motorbike from Alastar, I drove there alone. When I approach the refuge temple, that Pali chanting, I tell you, the first time I heard it, it was so strong. To me, this is something I am very familiar with, I heard before. But inside, no. So I parked my motorbike and went in. Then very naturally, the chanting card they give to me, they folded on. I can channel, I can understand. Then after that, I was told there's a library there. So I went there, all the booklet, whatever booklet I can find, I just get it. Then Chief Reverend got a lot of nice booklet. So I took Before that, when I was in Lower Six, before I came to Uni, I already saw his book, What Buddhists Believe, the first edition. So that one helped. So that one summarized to me what the teaching is. I knew what the Four Noble Truths is, the three things. But I can't find any material about the mind. I need somebody to tell me what is this mind. Nobody can tell me. I look through all the booklet, all the texts. I only get bits and pieces of thing here and there about the teaching. But what is the mind? I knew I had to meditate. Then I must know who meditate and what this mind is all about. Because at that time, very strange, you know, to me, the thought is not the mind, you know. It knows one, since young. Then I just need somebody to tell me about the mind until when I met Xuan Hua and Acharyantra. Acharyantra just tell me two simple things. Is it? The body is just a body. Mind is mind. Mind never the body. Body never the mind. We choose to take care of mind. So I know already. One of the mind that I have to take care of is my thought. Yeah. Then when I have faith in what he say, that's why when I meditate, I face the pain, I decided to endure and go through it. Because to me, I was confident. Body and mind are separate entity. He already told me, body is a body, mind is mind. Mind never the body, body never the mind. Means these two are different. That's why the first jnana knowledge, not jnana, jnana knowledge, is the wisdom that able to discern between form and mind. Namarup means the physical form, the body and the mind. So because of that, I endure, I silence my mind. The pain was exceptionally painful because for the first time I tried to sit through. Yeah. I think after about almost 2 hours. It was really painful. Normal people cannot bear, but I determined. I realized. Then suddenly it flashed through. Then this bright light here at the mind. Then, very strange, after that so-called sensation, the pain all gone, completely gone. Then I said, what is this? Then I decide to investigate. So I used the awareness. I didn't know that one is the true mind. I went down to check. Then I saw all the things without word on. The so-called pulling sensation or what. But without word on. Just that thing, the movement inside that. Then that mind is separate from the body. That thing that creates the pulling sensation, which is supposed to condition your so-called painful feeling or what, that one is separate one. That's why later on I knew what the first jnana is. The mind and the thing, the two different ones, totally different. They are separate. Then once I know that, I develop understanding. That's why I dare to go in. Then after that, when I heard from Acharyantra, the highest meditation, I developed the daily mindfulness. Then my sati came. Then when my sati came, I knew what sati is. That's why it became very different. Then from there, I developed the progress. Then later on, naturally, all the understanding came back to me. You continue, yeah, Sadhu.
So I'm not a sociable type. I couldn't handle but keep myself because I don't know nothing. Even documentary, I learned nothing.
Yeah. You did progress.
Yeah, I'm going. I'm lost. I'm very lost. So I observe.
So I observed Sister Amy.
What?
I observed her. I bet she didn't know because she did me something. I said, this is what I want to be.
Yeah.
The way she cultivate, the way she behave, it inspired me. So I that day I asked her, who's your teacher? I want to follow you.
Yeah, sadhu.
Then she mentioned Brother Kim. Because you see, what was it when you mentioned? I went, wait. And
Whereas the moment you came, the Dhamma you listen is so different, it's so easy to understand.
Awareness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I thought it's our enemy, the mind
of enemy. Yeah, when you don't know what this thing is, it will delude you.
Just open up and like, oh,
yeah, right. Yeah. Because the awareness that can be aware of all this movement is the nature that can understand and awaken and break free. Without that, you cannot go beyond mind, beyond thought. You cannot have that clarity. Yeah. We can only do one thing at a time, human being. Either you are silent completely without thought, then your awareness nature there, then you can observe and understand all the movement, the activity, the manifestation. If you cannot be in this state, means you are lost in thought.
I always remind myself, live for the moment.
Stay within the moment. That's why they call it the present moment awareness. And Eckhart call it present. Develop the ability to stay in the present moment. Means there is this present moment awareness that can make you aware. When you are aware, you are sensitive. You are not lost in thought, preoccupied in the thinking, distracted by the fear, worry, anxiety, the emotion. But thought, when you cannot understand thought, thought create movement, project into the future, recall the scars of memory, the unhappy past. A lot of video is a very good description. But this one is like you go to the cinema, all the light and sound, they created the movie like very real. But when the show end, when all the light is already, the white light come back, you look, the screen is just a blank screen. But when it was playing, you can become so emotional.
You can be drawn into your video.
And after the show, you still can talk about it. Chatter about it. That chattering, that verbalization, then the memory, then comment. The commentator will come out, the egoic mind comment. Why that hero inside the video? Not so nice, the ending. The ending could be better. Then sometimes you say, how can the evil one succeed in doing all those things? All this is what the mundane mind will create for you to hold on to, cling on to, grasp on to, and give meaning to everything. But in reality, it's just a blank screen. When the causes and conditions are there, then things arise, manifest. Then through our consciousness, we perceive it the way we want to understand it. That's why, like Sui mentioned in the other book that is coming out. He said, to us, human beings, we think this is the perspective. Yeah? We saw it that way. So this is actually our views, our opinion of things. But everyone is different now. So when your senses are impaired, the understanding is different again. So there is no such thing as the like one size fit all. No? Everybody accept this version. No? There is no such thing. The reality is the apparent reality that arises within our existential world. It's just the way it is. No word, nothing one. You cannot describe one. But living being very capable through the mundane mind, the delusion, the views, opinion, knowledge, conditioning, belief. So they immediately perceive it that way, you know. And to them, that is their apparent reality. That's why they argue. When you say it differently, they will argue with you. Then this so-called apparent reality, which we believe what society should believe in, is not the reality. The reality is everyone is different. Your version, their version, all these are what they call conventional reality, according to the individual. Means right or wrong, according to the individual. Then you realize ultimately the reality is just things are just the way they are. No right, no wrong, no good, no bad. But it's how you perceive it and how you define good or bad. Your good and bad is according to who? Yeah. So according to you, this is good. Yeah, this is what you believe in. But somebody else with another understanding, they say no. This is delusion. This is not right or not good. So it will end up as misunderstanding, argument, and conflict. So Dhamma enables us to see all this. That's why I like your description using your own word. You see all, like all the cinema show out there, all the video. Because when you are mindful, initially especially, you know here the brain, a lot of sankara activity on. That's why your thinking cannot stop. You are hardly aware. Most of the time it's lost in thought, preoccupied all the sankara activity. And it tells you a lot of story because you deludedly believe it, grabs into it. Hold on to all the manifestation that arise through your six senses. That's why the Buddha says you are the magician. You create magic. And magicians are also called illusionists. They create illusion for you to see. Actually, it's not what you think. These are all phenomenal of consciousness. You only become conscious of them. And every moment of consciousness is what the image that you project to your thought process. It's not the reality. Like we all came to the understanding. Moment to moment, it's okay. Where he's scared got interference. Moment to moment, life passes by. What are we doing? If you ask that question, then the answer will come. Because the thought is the one that create the illusion of time. They create words, past, present, and future. And these three, like, wow, really? I got my past, I got my future, I got my present moment, awareness, all those things. So to you, like, this is what time is all about. But when you have the mindfulness, you see, actually, out of the three, the past and the future are not a reality. Because this is what your thought tells you, projected. When you project your thought, then you create the future. When you recall what happened, then you created the past. But what actually happened is, within the moment, moment to moment, life passes by. This is the only reality, you know. You like it or not. And moment to moment, it arises and passes away. Every moment is just a moment. Split second is dead and gone. Split second is dead and gone. So how real can life be if you are not mindful? How can you cope with life? How can you understand life? Because every moment of consciousness, your thought will come in or not. Stir, react. Your views, your opinion, conditioning, beliefs, all this is chattering inside there. Then it conditions your fear, your worry, your anxiety, or sometimes your excitement. Then when you see something you don't like, you react to it again. Then when you see something beautiful, you want to own it, you want to have it, the craving, the desire. And all this activity that you create and condition you into all this grasping and clinging, you cannot see. And because of that, you get yourself entangled. Then this phenomenal world of consciousness is where all the very chaotic happening take place. That's why they say it's a very chaotic world. We're full of chaos, disharmony, war, enmity, eros. Seldom you have peace, tranquility, stillness, the hateful mind. Hardly. We are living beings are hardly aware. Most of the time they are lost in thought. And thought is the only instrument that they have been using for so long without understanding. That's why they get themselves entangled and become miserable. And knowledge is also something you acquire through the thought process. And knowledge is not wisdom. But normal people don't have awareness or cannot see the difference. To them is, if I have knowledge means I can become famous. I can become intellectual. I can have respect and all those things. But actually knowledge, if you truly understand, knowledge is not wisdom. Knowledge bind. Knowledge create more problem. And Krishnamurti mentioned this. He said the most dangerous man in this world is the one that say, I know. Do you know why he said that? When you say you know means what? You have knowledge in that. But you know. But when you have wisdom, you say, I understand. No. When I understand, it's not rigid. No. When I say I know, it's a knowledge. And that one is rigid. No. That's a knowledge bind. You got too much knowledge, you sure argue with people. You think you are knowledgeable, and your version of the knowledge is the one that is the apparent reality that you believe in. But this is not wisdom. Like they say, all the existential truth are not ultimate truth. They are conventional truth. Means based on convention, they has been accepted. And this is not born of wisdom, born of knowledge, which is born of the thought process. Yeah. So knowledge is accumulated memory. Or sometimes they call it understanding. No? Actually, that one is not understanding. That is, you develop that knowledge because you think you know. So the most dangerous person in this world is the one that say, I know. When we start cultivation, like just now Cindy started, she knows she is not going anywhere. And she wants to find out, she cannot. Because she started with, I don't know, I want to find out. And that is the best. If you start from a clean slate, you want to find out means you determine to investigate. Then you will come upon that true mind, the silent mind, that will enable you to understand and investigate. But you use the thought to analyze, to create the reasoning and the knowledge, you can never develop wisdom. Because no amount of analysis and reasoning can go beyond that thought process. You know what is that thought process? The thought is respond from memory. And memory is of the past, understand? And the past, knowledge accumulated is like the dead leaf that has already died long ago. No? So it's not a reality. You know? So knowledge is like the past. Cannot be within the moment. No? The one that is within the moment has got nothing to do with the thought. The thought is limited by its own existence. From the spacious awareness where you can be aware of everything that is going on, the totality. You shrink it to a small space to perceive something and create a thought. You understand how? You look at the Buddha image. How do you know it's a Buddha image? Where you perceive it there. From that space, through your memory, You perceive, then you input your content, then it becomes a thought. That space with the content becomes the thought. That thought manifests. And most of the time it's up here. A lot. That's why he saw a lot. A lot. Like unending one. You want to stop also, you cannot stop one. So this one, it can only understand what is within that space, within the accumulated knowledge and memory and all things. That's why this one cannot see beyond the limited space that you have created. And you cannot see this creation because you don't have the awareness. When you have the awareness, you know your nature is spacious awareness. Not that restricted small space, limited space. Yeah. Then when you understand that, then how your senses create the thought process, the movement, you can see. Your hearing also. The organ zoom there, then the attention of the consciousness is towards that sense basis. So because of that, you can be conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile, feel, and think. So these six types of sense or consciousness is the one that create illusion for you. And this one is all mundane mind activity. It has nothing to do with awareness. That's why the one that is aware, heedful, can see all this movement, see all this creation. You can be at the moment of contact, at the moment of consciousness, that at the moment of content or consciousness going in, how it retrieves from memory and how to the views, opinion, conditioning that you accumulated, how it going, that how it stirs the mind according to your own conditioning and belief system. So once you have this awareness to see all this, then you like wake up. Oh, all this world, so deluded. Oh. Grasping onto all this, reacting to all this for what? Then you believe you exist. Oh. You believe that thought is you, no? That ego is you, that feeling is you, the emotion is you. That's why you deludedly cling on to all this, believing that you must have good emotion, you must have good mind state, you must have a healthy body. Then the Buddha said, thing is just the way it is. Everything goes the way of nature. They are dependent, originating, condition arising. So they will go through always sickness and death. Everything is in a state of flux. That's why duality will exist. Whatever you hold on to, it will evolve and become different. So if you cannot transcend duality, you will be trapped in duality. You will be trapped within the conditional. That's why suffering will be the ultimate result. That's why you need wisdom to break free. Then the mundane mind that realizes itself is set free. Where it sees the illusionary consciousness, all the mundane activity and creation, they are not a permanent, unchanging entity. You cannot cling on to it, hold on to it, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all these are mine. No, everything is just dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, cause of phenomenon. No reality. He know you, he know me. And when you penetrate this through understanding, then you realize the whole Dhamma understanding becomes so clear. And you like suddenly wake up, no longer deluded. Then all this phenomenal world of consciousness form Sankara activity, Dhamma, they got no power over you. But you also understand they exist within the conditioned world. And within the conditioned world, there is such a thing as life, existence. That's why you become whole, complete again. Like the three types of seeing. Means, via wisdom, you develop the final, what they call suchness seeing. You see things as they are. you see beyond duality. Yeah. Because the one that is born of the direct seeing, there is wisdom, but it's still one-sided. You realize or not? Well, there is supramundane seeing. If you cling on to that, you still argue with people, understand? The fellow say, "Hey, that mountain very nice." Then you think you got direct seeing. Hey, got mountain. So this is the part that my nature tried to explain to you all through the four circle formation. And this is the one that can really transform your understanding. Mm. Okay, we let Cindy continue.
So I say, to me, mindfulness is very important.
Yeah, sati is very important.
Put into an everyday life, it will change you completely. And you change the whole perspective of life.
Sadhu.
Definitely you get, slowly but surely, all your craving will be gone.
Yeah, no more fear, no more worry, no more like before already. All the delusion, they cannot stay there anymore. You saw it. It's like the danger, like the cobra, how they attack you and kill you. You saw it. You know, you dare to go near the cobra or not? You dare to touch it or not? Like the molten, hot molten iron ball. Molten, no, burning, no. You dare to touch it or not? You will never touch it anymore, no. But because the physical suffering and mental suffering are different, no. Physical suffering, it can torment you and make you miserable. Then you really suffer, physically. But that physical suffering comes from mental suffering, where you attack, you think this body belongs to you. But when it is a mental suffering without any physical deterioration, you cannot see it. Like your grief, your suicidal thought, how it makes you miserable, your fear, your worry, this type of mental suffering, it doesn't torment you. No? You know what they do? No? They say, this is my problem. Understand? The first noble truth reality. And what are their problems? Birth, old age, sickness, and death. Mostly it's sickness. Old age also when you grow old. Then separation. Then when you are with people whom you don't like. When things don't go your way. When when you cannot get what you want. So all this suffering to them is problem. So they say, I have problem. Then they hold on to this now. When you hold on to this means what? Your thought is worrying about that problem. Like traumatic disease, you lost your job, or you met with accident and all those things, or separation problem, somebody close to you pass away or have problem. So all these are tormenting you, but you go and worry about it, instead of solving it, instead of having the clarity and understanding to see clearly that all this is not what you think, not so real. Then you can act. But they cannot see you. So they panic, they worry, they hold. The more you hold, what happened? You cling onto it, that thought keep on repeating itself. That's how you get into depression. They say the cocoon of thought keep on repeating, repeating, repeating. Then the more you hold, the more intense it becomes. So it triggers a depressive mental emotion. That's why they call it depression. Then that depression will come up with suicidal thought. Might as well die. What for? Life is not worthwhile. Why is the world like that? Why is God so unfair? So the thought keep on telling you all this nonsense because you're holding on to that. People having problems suffer a lot. They become depressive because they cling on to that problem. They worry about it. If this is burning you, tormenting you, why must you hold on to it? Do you see the delusion or not? Why can't you just put it down? Put it down. Put it down means what? I don't worry about it. I don't hold. Not to say the problem will be gone. No. The only difference is now I don't hold. I don't hold, it don't torment me. Then what happened? Means I don't go worry about it. I don't have fear, worry, anxiety. I develop understanding to calm myself down, to find out what actually happened. So that I can understand, then I determine to resolve it by working on the solution to amicably resolve all this. So when you do that, what happens? Your mind state becomes very different now. There is no fear, no worry, no anxiety. There is clarity. Then through that clarity, you can understand now. Then you ask, what actually happened? Oh, the doctor say, diagnose, maybe got cancer, terminal, what stage or what? So what? If I don't panic, I receive this news, I accept that reality. Not only me, anybody who don't take care of their health also will have this, understand? That's why it's dependent originating. It's common to all of humanity. So when I understand that, I accept the reality, because the Buddha said thing is just the way it is, then I can have a clear mind to look at it. Okay, if that is the reality, I will have to accept. Then I ask myself, what can I do to recover from it, to resolve all this amicably? Then the solution comes. You don't go and panic, worry, and create more mental suffering, and go and hold on to this forever. You will not come out of it. But when you have this clarity of mind, then you recall. There are people who recovered. There are people who came out of it. I should go and look for this type of people and get them to advise me. Or people who understand that can actually help people come out. And then the solution is there, understand? With a clear mind, no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, it will never create karmic negativity to condition more and more negative karma. That is the first step. That's an acceptance. Then ask for forgiveness or repentance if you need to break the karmic obstruction. Then after that, do what you have to do. Do what you have to do means you know the teaching. You have to follow the advice of the Buddha to reverse all this. Then vow not to repeat all this karmic negativity. Means you have to keep your precept. You have to learn the teaching. Then you have to cultivate more and more wholesomeness. Then meditate to realize the wisdom, the Dhamma, to free. Then invoke power of merits for turnaround. These are solutions that is within everyone's capacity to develop. And this is what Dhamma is all about. That understanding can free you and transform the individual so radically until you are most amazed, like what just now Cindy shared. You become totally different. Because the moment you see it, you understand it, you are no more so foolish to go and hold, to go and cling. Because these are all sankhara activity. Sankhara anicchang, come and go. Arise, pass away, gone. Any reality or not? Why you go and deludedly allow your thought to cling and hold and worry and develop all this unnecessary mental suffering, physical suffering, and chaotic world for all of humanity? So when you have this understanding, the understanding completely reverse and transform you, then you can free. You can actually free. The mind that has the wisdom that realizes this is liberated. That's why the mind that is liberated is no longer deluded, no longer entangled. It cannot hold anymore. It cannot go back to the old way anymore. Because it sees the danger of heedless living. And then it determined to be heedful, to be aware. That's why he will cultivate, he or she will cultivate. And the whole understanding of the cultivation become very different. No more of the deluded thought-based approach to think already. You will develop the inner awareness. And the teaching point directly to all those things. Heedfulness, heedfulness. And it's so clear. The heedful never die. The heedless eye see dead. And yet people cannot understand that part of the teaching. And the Buddhist community, very strange. You know? All of the so-called practice, meditation and teaching are still towards that traditional thought-based approach. Not realizing that sati is not what they think. Sati has got nothing to do with knowledge. Sati is the awareness nature before the mind create the thinking, the aggregates of mind before they arrive. That is your true mind, your original mind, your nature within, that spacious awareness, that nature. And that nature is not a being. It cannot come out and live life. So all this, not until you can be with the awareness nature, you cannot understand one. But they are just words. But when you realize that, when you've gone through that transformation and saw it, then the understanding completely changed and you become very different. So this part, work on it. Cindy, you have to continue. I interfere too many times.
You already said what's in my mind.
Yeah.
I must say sadhu to
yeah. We all should rejoice.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Rejoice with your good sharing. Joyce just came in, Joyce. You got anything to add or share or ask? Not at the moment. So what brings you here?
It's Teacher's Day, so I'm here to celebrate.
Yeah, sadhu.
Many years.
Yeah.
I'm getting as old as you.
Yeah. You can also share your what macam, that retreat that you wrote to me, the fruitful retreat.
Forgotten.
You want me to read out to you or not?
Perhaps.
Good. Okay, I read out to you. This one is very private one.
Already you say it's very private.
but now got permission from her, so can read out. And she wrote to me, don't tell anybody. Keep it to yourself. I kept the promise.
That's my brother too.
28 March, date also got 2024. Brother Teo, I'm in Wat Ma Cham for a retreat at the moment. It ended yesterday. I had a good and fruitful retreat. My deep gratitude for planting the Dhamma seed in me in the early days, early part of my spiritual journey. This has indeed changed my life, changed my life, and opened up new horizon for my cultivation. And that day, he said, today is Kuan Yin Pusa Enlightenment Day. The best gift to a teacher is to put his teaching into practice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then he said, hence, I would like to offer and share the merits in my practice to you. Wishing you longevity and good health so that you continue to expound the Dhamma for the benefit of many for a long, long time. Sadhu. May you attain, he used Nibbana, soon as possible. Sadhu. So I rejoice. I told him, rejoice your good cultivation too. Then she said, good morning, Brother Teo. I just got back from Bangkok. Are you available for breakfast tomorrow? See, she very fast, very good. Every time come breakfast, she learn a lot. We will share Dhamma, we will discuss. And she has improved a lot. She is good. Okay, back to you. Now you can recall that. You can share what happened. The fruitful transformation.
I can't really recall.
That is a good news. Because it's not from memory. But sometimes when the condition is there, it will come back to you.
Yeah, generally because I think that particular retreat was an online retreat which we organized for our Mahjan. And it was an online retreat only. Basically, there were not many people in our Mahjan to attend it in person. So I actually purposely chose this time to go because not many people. And also, I have some time to myself. I don't have to worry about other retreatants or whatnot. So I think the atmosphere and the having time to settle in was also something that was good. When you're not too busy in physically and mentally as well. So I think that kind of like help you to settle down for your bhavana much more easier. And because Mahjan has a Kuan Yin there, Kuan Yin Vihara. So I go there quite often to do my chanting. And also we got to get up very early in the morning we go for the morning chanting as well. I basically I follow the retreat proper quite closely, and that kind of sets you up for a good retreat. Hopefully you will get a good one, and not chasing after anything, not expecting anything.
A more relaxed environment.
Yeah. So you kind of like flow with it.
Yeah. The setting there is very good. That Wat Mahjong, a lot of good vibration there, especially near the Kuan Yin place. In fact, a lot of Kayamita went there, benefited from the Kuan Yin place there.
And also because Lung Po teaching has given us the ground to deepen our understanding.
Yeah.
So I think the one of the things that really the highlight would be, I was able to sit for a bit longer, and the chanting did help very much because I basically like chanting myself.
Yeah.
So I'm doing something that I truly has a lot of faith in, and when you chant. The vibration is there. So and also because you know what you're chanting. So chanting without understanding is something that we have to eradicate, or we have to make sure that we understand what we are chanting about. So that's when you get your vira. The energy
very true.
And
very
and
true.
The
yes.
So called the power. In it. I guess individually everybody respond very differently.
Oh, definitely. Everyone is different.
So the highlight would be because I didn't expect anything. And I aspire, yes, I do. But I don't go chasing after something. The level of which level I want to be, which jhana I want to be. I don't even know what's jhana in the first place. So I'm not really particular about things. But I think it came to a point that I'm beginning to understand the Four Noble Truths and the 12
Sadhu.
And the 12.
The 12.
Much more in depth and able to reflect and also contemplate on certain things to give me an idea, a bigger idea and a more wider, deeper understanding of the Four Noble Truths, which will lead you to the Eightfold Path, generally. So I think Dhamma is all about that. to simplify, simply put it into simple words, I think that's where I will have to work on and continue to do so.
Sadhu. Very good. Okay, who else? Yeah? You can ask any question or share anything. Yeah? Yeah, today is informal, yeah? Just fellowship.
The teacher's day is a day when you can tell your teacher how much you have improved.
Yeah.
Or how much you have progressed.
Like Brahma Suri said, it's an occasion for fellowship where you can express your gratitude, pay your respect, and develop the joy. It's only through all this sharing that you develop more stable understanding. Because on your own, when you don't have that, what they call condition, to develop the strong faith, you need Kayamita. That's why the Buddha said Kayamita ship is 100% of the holy life. Without Kayamita, you cannot. Even the great beings, the Buddha, the Bodhisattva, they are the best of all Kayamitas. So without them, we cannot have what we are capable of to realize and achieve. So all this is because of Kayamita ship. And throughout our spiritual journey, we encounter a lot of parameters. Of course, if you have the understanding, then you can differentiate between the real one and the one that is not so authentic. So all this are what cultivation is all about. As I make full use of our this gathering, which is coincide with Teacher's Day, to express whatever you want to express, and this is a very good occasion.
Sadhu. First of all, I would like to express my thanks and very grateful to Radio's teaching for the past 15 years, since the year 2009.
Yes.
Without Radio's simple, direct teaching, I think many of us are still and repeating teaching. Repeating teaching. Many of us will still, searching in the dark. So at least now we see the lights.
There is clarity of what the teaching is and the cultivation. Well, in the past, a lot of them, they actually go after the Dhamma knowledge, the theoretical Dhamma. And they got a lot of this type of teaching around. But you look back, most people will come to the realization towards the end, just like what Cindy went through. After following for so many years, like you know, you are still nowhere, so the understanding is still not there. Then that search is like create the urgency inside. That's why he prayed to Buddha or Kuan Yin, I forgot already, and it was answered. Then I think the savior was Ying Bi, he saw the role model. Then she developed that faith. Then she decided to learn chanting. Then he asked Ying Bi, who is your teacher? That's why after that he go and listen to my video. Then he developed the understanding and the interest. Then Ying Bi brought her to my Tuesday class not long ago. Immediately after that first class, she like, the whole thing becomes so clear to her. Because in person and not in person, still a big difference. But when you come in person, you can ask her. Totally different. That first lesson, that Tuesday class, most people knew will fall asleep and doze off. She wide awake and full of joy at the back there. I saw her smile. Then after that, the rest is history. A lot of things happened. Then every session, you ask Jin Hao and my daughter, either Zoom or they'll come to physical class. Non-stop. And Ingbi also rejoice because, yeah, sadhu, yeah. That word is very true, you know. Price so much to learn from me, because it's really true one. Because wisdom is unending, understand? No? As you develop the understanding, the progress, the consciousness you are, that new thing will come out, understand? No? Like what you all witnessed for the last, since 2017, I think, the website came out. The last 7 years, the sharing, the teaching all become very different now. The Bodhisattva way, the Supreme Vehicle way, and a lot of the sharing become so different now. And we now move on to the four circle formation, which is out of the initial sainthood way teaching. The sainthood way teaching is circulate around the four noble truths, three turning, and the Dhamma that spin off from there, the essential Dhamma, like the three evil roots, the five spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrance, and also the paticca samuppada, the dwelling and all those things. Then sati, mindfulness, heedfulness. But the one that talked about the pure awareness nature was not in the superficial preliminary sainthood way teaching. That's why later on, all this sharing about how we come from the source, then how from the source the first thing to come out is our pure awareness nature. And this one, all meditator is trying to search for this, and they cannot find. That's why Eckhart also share present moment awareness, the state of present without thought. Krishnamurti also talk about awareness. So a lot of this new teaching, they centered on that pure awareness nature, but they cannot describe it so clearly like what we have shared. So from there, how the five aggregate of form and mind come to be is all explained. Then how from the five aggregate of form and mind, the phenomenal world of consciousness, existence, life, how they manifest and become what it is. We call it existence, society, and all these things, humanity, living beings. Yeah. So all this is what the teaching is all about. Yeah. And this teaching, like those who understand human Siddhi know, there is so much to understand, to learn. Because as you go into the cultivation of the pure awareness nature, there are so much more things. Oh. Like last time I remember I hinted to you all, not until you all develop the causes and conditions and the progress, there are so much understanding and realization that this nature has, it cannot share. But the last few years, a lot of this came up. Yeah. Then now, when you all can understand this, the next phase is going to be even more fantastic. That's why this year is a very unique year. No? This year, a lot of things is happening. Our Uthaisan spiritual trip coming. Then after that, our retreat, then the gathering of Kayamita, which is the 20th year I came out to share. And not only 20th year, it coincides with my 70th birthday. And all this teaching has come out on the website, everything. And the latest book, the coming one, not the last one, well, that one is the you call it one, the finale. Where the whole teaching come out. And you read that one, I tell you, you have a lot of joy. And that one itself, to put it into words, simple English is not easy. You know, when you read that one, you will understand how to develop that pure awareness nature very easily. Because we were lucky, we have Chui to help us with the English. Her English is very good. And that's the one that actually created the big difference. Well, last time when I share using my approach, which is colloquial. Colloquial, direct to the point one. To me, if I understand it this way, other people should be able to understand too. But I was really wrong. Well, when I started to come out to share 20 years ago, the same thing. I thought what you all need is Dhamma. So the first batch that came, hardly anybody understood what I teach. Then that time, after about a year or what, I say, anybody who can understand 10% of what I share here, already very good. Hardly anybody believed that statement. Until later, then only they realize what I meant. So at that time, the teaching couldn't take off. Because at that time, hardly anybody understand. So I need to reverse what I share. Yeah, I started with the four noble truths, the three turning. Everybody looked at me. But what is this three turning? Then I link it to the three type of wisdom. They haven't heard. But I say it's in the Theravada teaching. Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon. Yeah. Then that one, avoid the two extreme, transcend duality, everything. So that time I want to share all those things. Nobody understand. Hardly anybody understand. So finally, I got to reverse it out. Then I go back to basic. That's why I go back to four noble truths. Then I go back to the basic Dhamma. I keep on repeating the greed, hatred, and delusion. The five spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance. Then anicchang, dukkang, anatta. Then sila, samadhi, and panya. Then puja, everything. The importance of cultivating the devotional practice. And so we need to go back to all those, like the kindergarten, need to teach you ABC, form word, then sing song. Then after that, share the teaching. And the teaching is all very basic. So it took us quite a while. And that time, sati, I cannot say too much. I just say sati. I use back the same Pali word, sati. But when they use the word mindfulness, I also have to use mindfulness. But I say mindfulness is an awareness before the knowing. I define it very early days, but hardly anybody understand. Then when I say, don't use thought, everybody look at me. Don't use thought, then use what? Oh, nobody can understand at that time. So it has really transformed, especially the last 7 years. Yeah, Ingvi, sorry, you continue.
It is whatever Radio said direct from your heart.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
is the Dhamma that
yeah,
we
correct. Learn. You learn and you receive.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that one you cannot find on. I realize book also don't write on. Huh.
So doesn't matter whether it's colloquial or not colloquial.
Yeah. Correct. Straight from the heart. That's why that book, the unique code, straight from the heart. And I call it unique code at that time because I think only Ingvi understood its significance at that time. She go and put in her computer. Then when the time come for us to like Kayamita told me, Pretty, your unique code are very good. Why not we write it into a book? Then I say, I don't have that. I just share, I never record. Then suddenly Ingvi wrote to me, Pretty, don't worry, I have them all in my computer. That's why he sent to me. Then I realized there are 160 of them. I also never knew I created so many codes. And then I was looking for the title, what type of title? That's why finally I zoom in on straight from the heart, like Ingvi say, because it's from there it come out. And these codes are really unique one, not ordinary codes. Because every of these unique codes are point towards that nature one. Do you realize that? Point towards that nature one, that silent mind. How to understand that and how to develop that. And these are the hints that I've been passing around in every sharing and every lecture. But hardly anybody got it, except one or two Karimita. One of them is Ingbi. She very discerning. She knew these are beautiful things. That's why she actually copied it in and kept it in the computer, the file there. And it's like meant to be, you know. Without that, I don't think this book will come out. You ask me to remember, I cannot remember anything. Whatever I share, there and then is gone. And I seldom write it down. In fact, a lot of the things that I share, you can find it everywhere. But when I read it, I will remember at that time why I share this. But before I read it, I got no idea. I cannot recall at all. But that is what Dhamma is. And in fact, a lot of the things that has been shared, they are really unique Dhamma code and priceless gem. Very good, Ingmi. Yeah.
Not to forget Sister Lee, Lee Siu Gek.
She also,
I think, because
yeah,
Sister Lee has been giving the birthday poster to
Brian.
Three poster.
And during the gathering of Kayamita, she offered it to me. And I was really surprised that she can pick that one up, because she was the one that invited me over to Wu Pingqing's to share the Heart Sutta. And that's how the Heart Sutta came. That's why she has her parami, her condition, all those things. Then some of the code that she liked, because in the past, she also learned from her Bo Yan Sang Lao, her teacher, which is the Cuckoo's master. And Bo Yan Sang Lao is Xuan Hua's contemporary. They have the same teacher, Xu Yun Lao He Sang. They are very extraordinary disciples, and they learn from him. And surprisingly, at that time when Sister Lee invited me over to Wu Pingqing to share, she told me there are a lot of quotes by Bo Yan Sang Lao she cannot understand. Then I say, you show it to me, I explain to you. That's why in the Heart Sutta, we share all those things. Bo Yan Sang Lao wrote her, you know what he said or not? He said, Qi Xing Dong Nian is the first one, but the other one, the best one is Wu Nian Jiu Shi Zhen Xing. For her to repeat that without understanding, I also surprised. I said, how can you not understand this? Wu Nian Jiu Shi Zhen Xing, without thought, that is your true mind. Unless the cultivator understand, he cannot quote like that. I don't know. Then Miss Lee was full of joy and all that. He said, all along he cannot understand. Why the master say, Wu Nian Jiu Shi Zhen Xing? To her, the true mind or the Zhen Xing is like something very esoteric or what. But no thought is that thing. So easy. Because that nature is awareness before the knowing. It's just an awareness nature. Awareness means what? The oneness nature. The awareness nature and the oneness is one. And this is what that nature is. That's why sometimes they call it the oneness nature or the source. Where from there, everything arises. So that oneness nature, nobody can understand. It's not a being. It's not a human being. It's not a living being. It's not an entity. It's just that nature. Just like karmic nature, spiritual nature. But this pure awareness nature is that nature that came out from the source. But that nature is the first to manifest. No thought, nothing. Then from there, it starts the creation process. So from here, I explain this again. I think tonight is going to benefit a lot of people. You see, from here, the source, this one is the Mahayana call it our original nature. Panlaidamianmo means originally, before creation, before anything arise, that was the thing. That's why they call it the source, or oneness nature, or nibbana, or whatever. Because it's the unconditioned. Then from there, the first thing to come out is a pure awareness nature. But this one cannot come out unless there is a form and mind through the karmic process, karmically conditioned out. That's why I put here living being, karmic nature. From here, karmic nature conditioned the form and mind. And through this form and mind, you can locate the gateway to access to the pure awareness nature. Understand? Then when you, through the direct seeing, the pure awareness nature, silent mind, direct seeing, you develop the wisdom. This wisdom connected to this one, this enable this to realize itself and cease and go back to here. That pure awareness also cease, then you return. Understand? You return to the source. And this, you cannot talk about it. Right? Everything sees, even this pure awareness also no more than. But this pure awareness nature can be developed, cultivated until very, very extraordinary. This one is very, very beautiful. Only Bodhisattva cultivate this one. The sainthood way, don't need to go into it. A glimpse of it is enough. Understand? That sati that lead to the cessation of form and mind. The glimpse of it is enough. And the sainthood way to me, like I explained, is the superficial teaching, the initial teaching, and is relatively much, much easier. Yeah. But when you go to this one takes very long. Aeons and aeons and aeons to perfect and cultivate. But this nature is very exceptional. You go in and cultivate only, you will understand. When you locate the gateway, when the external yin-yang energy melt inside and become pure energy and develop the internal transformation, then this awareness nature show up. You cannot go in, you cannot transform. You need the pure energy with the wisdom to transform the inside. Then this whole heart area, like transform. It's like, it finally like inside there, hollow. Nothing inside there. But the vibration become very fine. Then when you are there, that thing is not a being. It's just that nature. And that one see clearly all this manifestation. Then it understand how all this come about. Then it know from here you have to return to here for you to develop the direct seeing. If you don't return to here, what happened? You will end up here, isn't it? You think a lot, isn't it? You think a lot how to observe, how to see, how to understand. That's why you have to bring it back. Pure awareness-based meditation. Awareness-based meditation means you bring your mundane mind back to this one. Means stay at the pure awareness. Don't do anything. And this one can see things as they are. Then it can see how this five degree of form and mind, the two aspects, how they manifest. That's why you start to understand who are you? What are you? Not only the human being or the form and mind. The second aspect, which is the five aggregate, the thought process, the mental one. This movement is what Paticca Samuppada. Then you see the creation. Then you realize why the Diamond Sutta say, each year you wave. Where is dependent originating, dependent on. This dwelling is Paticca Samuppada. Everything that manifests from here is dependent originating. All the consciousness, everything is dependent originating. Then when you see this, you like wake up. Even Cindy also can understand. You like wake up. Phenomenal world of consciousness. This is just consciousness. You know what is consciousness? Mental images. Understand? And all of your seeing, hearing, smell is mental images that you cling on and hold on to your conscious mind. And you become conscious of it. And how do you become conscious of it? Moment to moment, understand? Every moment conscious, every moment conscious. Then consciousness come and go. Understand? One moment you see, one moment you hear, one moment you smell, taste, tactile, feel and think. But in between living beings that are heedless, not aware, cannot see all this, they get themselves entangled. Every moment of hearing consciousness, they react, they stir. and they do all the habitual tendency. Their views, opinion, conditioning, belief system come in and interfere. Then they become emotional, fearful. Then they develop fear, worry, anxiety. And this is how the chaotic world create all the entanglement inside the phenomenal world of consciousness. Whereas when you are here, what happened to you? No thought. No thought means what? Tranquility, stillness, awareness nature. And this one can see things as they are. No word, nothing. No duality, nothing. Things is just the way they are, like the Buddha said. Condition like that, things is like that. No word on, no need word. That's why kan san pu si san. But when you give meaning, you create the phenomenal world, then you want to do away with it. Understand? And the delusion is they want the good, don't want the bad. Understand? But not knowing that when they want the good, that craving create more duality, create more suffering. That's why they keep on getting entangled inside here. And they cannot come out of this, they call the samsara. This is what samsara is. So all this, after you really develop the pure awareness and stay inside there, you start to understand all this. Then when you understand all this, the superficial teaching to you is nothing really. Because you would have understood that this one is not a being. And this one is not you. Yeah, this one is karmically conditioned for you to come. It's a vehicle and a tool for you to live life, understand life, and go through whatever vows, cultivation, or whatever. Or a lot of people come, pay back karma. Understand? So when you start to see all this clearly, on your own, while you are cultivating the joy that you develop, this is priceless understanding. Then you understand clearly what existence is, what life is, the unreality of form and mind, like the Buddha said, rupang anicang, rupang anatta, vedana anicang, vedana. All this become very clear. No? That's why in the yellow card, I ask you all to put it into the Bodhisattva vow. So this is what the real complete extent of the understanding and the culture. And this that I explain, you can develop the cultivation to perfect all the understanding, but it takes eons. Unless you have been cultivating this for very long as a bodhisattva, and then no more problem. We are at the fourth stage of Bohi-mind development. Bohi-mind that renounces samsara. But to them, the coming is no more issue. It knows no reality, but wonderful existence. Every light they come, very beautiful. Like this segment of my nature coming, very beautiful. Since birth until this moment. Of course, after 1989, it's even more wonderful. And this is what the understanding is. And at that time, how can I teach this? That's why I need to teach the superficial teaching, the what they call the Four Noble Truths, Three Turning, and the Sainthood Ways teaching. Then when I went through the Lotus Sutta, you know what happened? All those things that we are going through reminds me of what I did now. What I did over the last 20 years now. I started with the superficial teaching. The skillful means, the expedient devices. Then only I went into the pure awareness nature teaching. And within 20 years, all this fall into place. That's why beyond your wildest dream that all this can happen, and yet the website is there. That's why I told Sui, later on, cultivator of the way, when they realize what this teaching is, I tell you, they will really go after it. And by then, a lot of cultivators will understand. Well, with the new book, so easy to understand this, no? Yeah, this one you don't need to cultivate one, no? No need to know, no need to do. Well, the knowing and the doing is only by the thought. The moment you do and know, you come back to here already. Then why you want to waste your time? Stay there. Stay there means what? Let things be silent. Let it settle down until the Sankara activity all still, tranquil. You will realize that cessation, the stillness. Then once the cessation comes, when your wisdom is high enough, this pure awareness also cease, you go into the unconditioned. You will realize initially the unconditioned Nibbana. So this one Nibbana is where a lot of cultivator who realize the cessation, they will have a glimpse of what this thing is. But later on, when your perfection develops, this one become exceptional. This one, it like hold the understanding behind. That's why this one is the source. From here, everything come about. So if you can go back to here, means you understand the whole creation. You understand what all these are. And this is the beauty of this teaching. That's why the Buddhist teaching is not a philosophy or a way of life or what that a lot of people. It is explaining to you the whole law of existence. Understand?
Okay, I didn't intend to come up here, but never mind. Anyway, I'll just take a bit of time. First of all, gratitude to all the Kayanamitas, because without this platform, I wouldn't really discover the Dhamma. I know that. You know, like how when you live nearest to the school but you never study? Yeah, my dad was at home every day, but I never really was curious about the Dhamma until around 2017. Then, with the objective of spending more time with them, I joined the retreat. Then,
yeah,
go and attend and then go and find out what my dad has been teaching, why are there so many people in his class. Then, I slowly started doing transcription recording, and then listening to all the sharings and the life stories really helped me a lot. And all the discussions that goes on really benefited me. And one of the examples also happened today. So that's why it prompted me to share. I know it's already the end, so I'll make it short. First, I think there was talk about how our mind takes a lot of videos of our memories. And then the second hallmark of the Six Patriarch Sutra that says Wu Xiang. So today it clicked in my mind that a camera in Chinese is called Xiang Ji.
Xiang Ji.
So I realized that it has gotten clearer to me that my mundane mind works like a camera, which is Xiang Ji. And it's capturing all the Xiang Pian, the pictures that it makes up my world. And before discovering the Dhamma, my camera has been used like a traffic violation camera. You know what I mean? It's stuck in one place with no freedom, and it only nitpicks at all the violations, cars that didn't stop at the line, ran the red light. It remembers all those bad things in my life, and the world I depict became gradually more and more depressing as I mature in life. When I was younger, it was more happy memories, there was nothing to be sad about, but as I went into later years, and then I realized the challenges in life, hurdles in life, upsets and disappointments, then the world didn't become a very pretty place anymore with all the photos, the way I was just taking one photo per minute. Then after discovering the Dhamma, I am really grateful that just understanding how this works really helped me a lot already. This mundane mind and this camera actually has a lot of freedom. I don't have to put it on a pole and only nitpick at all the bad things in the world. So I take photos of the scenery. At the every moment to moment, whatever I'm in, all the happy moments, I choose how to shape the thoughts in my brain, the narrative of the video, the narrative of the photo, even if it was a wound or anything, it becomes a lesson, a teaching to me. It becomes very meaningful for me to be able to understand what others are going through as well. This is part of life. I learned to appreciate all the pitfalls and even all the old videos, you know, all the old memories I had. They became happy memories, yeah, having gone through them, making me who I am today. So that's what I wanted to share.
That's why when you understand life, existence become wonderful. When you understand life, you are no longer deluded by what happened here. But this is where this direction is. The pure awareness nature is here. So this one is actually the first to come out from the source. Then you got two choices in life. One, the normal people live from here. This is your senses, your physical senses inside your body, physical body. So if you live like that, means you create consciousness, understand? The phenomenal world. Then all this, you use your brain, your memory, which is knowledge, yeah? Knowledge accumulated in your brain to understand. And this one cannot take you beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why you cannot develop wisdom, mind, hear or knowledge, mind. And this is where the five aggregate of form and mind is. This is what samsara is. This is what existence is. You cannot go beyond thought, beyond mind. To go beyond thought, beyond mind, you have to stay here. Stay here and silence everything. You remember? No? Without thought, that is your true pure awareness nature, your true mind. And this is the one that can develop the direct see thing as they are. Not thought-based, awareness-based. This one develop wisdom. Then this wisdom connected to the senses, this one become enlightened, no longer deluded. It's because of this wisdom. And this one only follow this one when this one exists. But when this one gone, this one also gone. That's why every life you come, you have to start the cultivation again. But you have your karmic nature and your spiritual nature, and your understanding through vows, aditan, everything, to help you, understand? So that when you come, you straight away, although you cannot locate this, but some great beings like Hui Ning, born without the mundane mind, they straight away hear, understand? Then they can see all this very clearly. Then for me, when I was 6 years old, I was all the time here. I got hardly any thought, I can recall when I was young. Because my mother told me, she said, you're very cute, you never cry, seldom even like cry or what. When I hungry, I just then I want to pee, then my mother would know. Then I use my leg to shake my that yao lam, the one that put the sarong one, I will do that. And my mother said, I'm the easiest to take care. That's why I look back, how come like that? When I was young, 6 years old, I hardly any thought. But then when they transfer me back to Arosta, notorious area, then the contamination start. Then this thing start. That's why I went through all those things. But it's meant to be. Because after that, when I reached Form 5, that was the turning point. When I know about science, geography, I start to probe. And then everything changes, everything transforms. That's why when you have your past, what I'm trying to explain to you, this thing and this thing can help you. Understand? When you come. Then like I said, this line, this segment of my nature's coming, I never do anything. I just echo and flow. Technically, it's like, when I was young, it showed to me so many things. And I already knew all this has a lot to do with my past. Yeah, how come I can see and understand all those things? So, during my younger day, I saw a lot of things. Then my life was actually, although in a notorious area, I grew up very well. I don't have problem with food and shelter, and my parents loves me, and they look up to me. I was the second eldest. We got 9 brothers and sisters. Then that nature when the time come to move, it know how to move. Then when it come to the uni, everything like meant to be one, fall into place. I still even know more. Because a lot of things in my life, it just happened or not. It's like my pure wish, very powerful. Just the pure thought, that thing arise or not. You condition thing to arise or not. Cause thing to arise. So this is the beauty of the Buddha Dharma. It's not a what they call a way of life or a philosophy that people tend to label Buddhism. Because very few people understand the true teaching. The true teaching is so complex, so extensive, and it go beyond the thought. This awareness is the one that the scientists cannot discover. The nature's energy. That pure awareness, nature's energy. Because that is the missing link. They know a lot about the thought. Then from there, they created science, knowledge, everything. Then they keep on probing. They know their senses are limited. They come out with scientific instruments to help them probe the universe. The various type of telescope and all those things. So this is what the unique Dhamma is all about, the teaching of the Buddha. So hopefully that will give you more understanding and faith, so that when you understand this, you not only understand life, you know how to live life. And that is the most beautiful part. When you know how to live life, every life you come, so beautiful. Now this one will connect to this very fast. How fast you connect depends. That's why for me, I was lucky. At the age of 35, I connect 1989. Actually, that was also the age Sakyamuni developed full enlightenment underneath the Bodhi tree. He was 29 years old, he left the palace, you remember? 6 years later, 35, he became fully enlightened. So at that age, you got a lot of beautiful, meaningful life. You can live life to the fullest and develop understanding. And my mission this life is to share the two things that I understand that the world needs. That's why Maitreya came. And to him, this is the true Dhamma, Zhen Fa. 请你把正法传下去. He repeated 5 times. In golden hue letter, with the laughter at the back there. So all this is what the teaching is all about, and the understanding that can evolve out of this understanding is very, very amazing and very beautiful. And I have yet to come across another teaching that is so extensive and so beautiful and so clear. And no need to believe anything. You can do it and realize it. But that nature is inside each and every one of us. That's why sometimes they use the word Buddha nature. True nature, oneness nature, original nature, or Buddha nature. It's like everybody has this nature to become Sama Sambuddha. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I think just nice. 10:15 already. Ngam. 18, we exceed a bit. So, fellowship now. Share merit. Okay? Let us rejoice 3 times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Akasatta ca bhumata devanaga mahindika. Punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tuloka sasana itta wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sidiya idang menya tidang hotu Sukita hantunya teo. Idang menya tinang hotu. Sukita hantunya teo. Idang menya tinang hotu. Sukita hantunya teo. Imina putati uhuwa satu kalina. Sasa sampati heto ce. Vito bhavatu loko ce. Raja bhavatu dhammiko. Imina punyang kamena. Mame dala samagamo. Sattang samagamo hotu. Yāva nivāna pātiyā sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then we can end the Zoom session. After that, you can have your refreshment. Then short fellowship.